everyone, and welcome to Disney Magic Hour. It's Melissa here with you, and I have a very special guest today. I have Miss Laura with me. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Melissa.
How are you?
I am just fine today. How are you?
I'm well. Laura and I are here. We're going to talk about some fun stuff, but some stuff that's really seriously important, and I wanted to have a conversation, and Laura was very accommodating and wanted to join, and I appreciate it very much. So we just wanted to kind of talk about some stuff that's been going on in the culture. But before we get into that, I'll just do the whole rundown like I need to and let you know where you can find us, because I don't know, you're here. Somehow you found us. Maybe you found us on our website. We're at lastgenpodcast.com. Maybe you were on Twitter. I don't know. I'm there sometimes, not often, but sometimes you can find me there at Diz Magic Hour Pod. Often you can find us all, including Laura, over on the Facebook group at Disney Magic Hour. You can join our group, add your friends. We have a good time. Or you can follow our picture stories over on Instagram at Disney Magic Hour Podcast. We're there. I do the Instagram a lot. I share Pete's pics sometimes, and I definitely update the story whenever we're out at the parks. So whenever we're at events and stuff, you always check the story. But of course, we cannot forget that this show and all our shows are brought to you by MEI Travel. That's MEI-travel.com. You head over there, you tell them you want to go on a magical vacation, and they will get you started, whether you want to go to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, going on a cruise, anywhere around the globe. Becky and her team will help get you started off right. So, all of that said, all of the formalities done, let's get into this. So, Laura, me and you were having a conversation. It actually started with Courtney and I, quite honestly. And it started because I was on the internet, as one is, unfortunately. But I was reading a lot of takes. I don't want to call them hot takes. I was reading a lot of takes. And there were a lot of them that I could understand. There were a lot of them that I thought were reactionary and not fully understanding the bigger picture. And there were a lot of them that I wanted other perspectives on, because I felt like there was a need for multiple voices to be heard. But this is really all relating to Avengers Endgame. So obviously, if you haven't seen the movie, you can stop, because we're going to spoil things and we're going to talk freely as if you have seen it. So if you haven't seen it, just know that going in, you can come back and join us after you've seen it. But it's been a bit since it's been released. It's been like a week. So I'm hoping that by the time this comes out, maybe 2 weeks, you will have seen it. And maybe you've read some stuff that I've read, and maybe you have your own opinions. And I'd like to have a conversation, because while everybody has their own opinions and everybody has their own takes, I feel like a conversation is important to be had, because just putting your opinion out there, while that's good, I feel like it doesn't get anywhere unless people talk about it, or people don't talk about something, and, you know, it's just not good. I think talking is good, as I sit here talking now. So to set it up, and then I'll actually let Laura talk. I'm sorry.
It's fine. Don't worry.
The big thing that I wanted to address, because my favorite character is Thor, and I feel like he has had a lot of important arcs throughout the MCU, you know, all of the films, all whatever, 21, 22 films. And a lot of people felt that his treatment in Endgame was a disservice. And I am not on that point of view. I do think that it was an important thing that was done. Was it done 100% perfectly? No, there's definitely flaws in how it was done. And that's what I want to talk about. But I do think that we should, you know, in the comment thing, we should talk about Fat Thor, because there is a lot more to him than just that. Just like anybody, there's more to the person than just their name and their descriptor. Like, so I think that diving into Thor, diving into how they treated him, what they did to him through the movie, in the movie, how they made him look and act and everything like that, there's a lot there. And I think that getting into it, I'm hoping that if you were on the side of you hated it, maybe you'll not hate it as much. And maybe if you were on the side of it was hysterical, maybe you'll get a little deeper understanding with that as well. Because there is a lot to this. It's a big prism. It's not just a flat surface for me. So, Laura, what were your initial reactions? And then what were your, a couple of your deeper thoughts on Thor? We'll get into the specifics as you go.
So, since we decided that we were going to have this conversation, I've done a lot of reading, but I do want to give just, obviously it's influenced the way that I think a little bit, as reading does, but I think when I was sitting in the theater, first of all, you have to understand that like the anticipation had been building all day and I was like basically on tenterhooks at that point. And like every time something happened in the movie, there was just, my reactions were just completely overblown because I had just been looking forward to it so much.
Same.
When I saw him, I'm going to be honest, my heart just sank.
Yeah.
Because it was just like every other disappointment I had ever experienced as a fat viewer watching fat characters being mistreated. So I saw him, and I mean, I did laugh at some of the jokes because some of them were genuinely funny. You know, the delivery, the tone, the rock dude, I can never remember his name, the one that Taika Waititi voices, you know, he's hilarious.
Yes.
Him and his pamphlets, you know. But, but the overall, the feeling that I came away from that scene with was just disappointment because I really didn't expect Marvel to do that. I really, they've been pretty classy throughout, and they've been, and they've really sort of they've bucked some of the normal tropes that superhero films fall back into. And then I saw him and the way they treated him and the fact that he was so obviously traumatized, and instead of showing him compassion, they made cheap jokes. And it continued. It continued throughout the movie. It continued when they were back on Asgard in the past and he was trying to get the, which I can't remember which stone it was that Jane had, but anyways, like it continued to happen pretty much every time he was in a scene. And that's still sort of my take. And I have a lot of thoughts about how they could have done it better. And I suppose that's where this conversation is going to go. But yeah. What about you, though? Like, what did you feel?
I guess I wasn't as disappointed. I was definitely shocked. But beyond Rocket's initial, comment, you can, I really connected with more of how Banner reacted to him and the psychological part of it. Because you could tell he was broken. And
yes.
Like mentally, his mental state is what led to his physical state. And like, girl, that I can relate to 100%.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So like knowing, you know, going through Thor's journey with him and even seeing him at the end before we get the 5 year later reveal, when he does the whole, you know, I went for the head, like he did all that he could do and it wasn't enough. Mm-hmm. And then like, so like that weight, even when he says like, I went for the head, like you could tell like he was traumatized then. So like to see him in that 5 year later spot, I was more invested in his mind, you know, like his whole mental state, because like we've seen long-haired Thor, we've seen drinking Thor, we've seen so much of those vices already that like him doing any of those things or having, you know, long hair again, like nothing would have been a trigger to be like, look, something's not right. And unfortunately, like the only way that they could, I guess, convey it is him not taking care of himself in that way, you know, because he's always drank. So like, obviously drink for him doesn't necessarily lead to anything, but the stationary life, the just sitting in front of the TV with his friends and not moving, not venturing out, like Valkyrie references. So like all of that, that really hit me more. And yeah, like you get a chuckle from Rocket because it's Rocket, and you know.
Yeah, he's irreverent no matter what you do. He's going to be a jerk to everybody because that's what Rocket does.
Exactly. So again, like it wasn't out of place. And even like Banner didn't have like a comment about Thor's physical. Like, it was more like immediately he was like, okay, dude, like, I know where you're at. I was there too. Like,
yeah.
So, like, I don't know. I guess I maybe gave it more allowance because I was more focused on, like, what is, you know, his inner workings and, like, how are they going to deal with that? Because that's, like, a big thing for him, you know? He's gone down.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where I was at when he first, like, was revealed. And, you know, it was that whole, like, he was trying to be carefree and trying to be funny and, like, but you just knew that even in his jokes there was sadness, you know? When he talks, when they're doing the whole presentation about the Infinity Stones and he talks about Jane and everything, like, he's trying to be, like, happy, and you can tell, like, he's just broken inside. So, yeah. Like, for me, like, that was where I was at with him.
That's fair. That's fair. I think probably we bring our experiences to the viewing situation. And for me, as someone who's been, I'm fat. You obviously can't see me. Kids, I'm fat, just so you know. 6 feet tall, and I'm like a size 26 on the bottom. And I've been watching people who look like me on television and in movies be the butt of jokes my entire life.
Yeah.
So I think that was, I mean, yeah, okay, yes, I was definitely bringing my experience to the thing. But there were small changes that they could have made that would not have affected the gravity of the situation, but would have made it more sympathetic. I mean, Rocket's going to make his joke, all right? He's going to make his joke. Does it serve to drive the plot forward in any way? No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
But his never do.
Yeah, it's purely for entertainment value. It is purely to poke fun at the fat guy.
Yeah. I mean, he did that with Infinity War when he told Star-Lord, like, you're one sandwich away. Like, he's...
Yeah, he does it. He's mean to everybody. Yeah. But again, I mean, it's for entertainment value purely, but the fact that people are entertained by that is a problem.
That's very true. That's a societal thing for sure.
It is. It's definitely a societal thing. I just, like, they. So when we've watched Thor in past films, you know, Chris Hemsworth takes his shirt off and we're all just like, thank you. Thank you, Marvel. Thank you so much. You know, rippling biceps and pecs and the whole package. Okay. And they do it unabashedly. And I know that actually there were points in I think it was Thor 2. I was reading an interview with him where he was like, please don't make me take my shirt off anymore. Like, it's enough. I know that you're doing it because you want the audience to objectify me. That's the point here.
Yeah.
And I get that. And what they've done is they've turned that experience around. They have made this on purpose. They took this Marvel character that was extremely desirable to anybody who's attracted to that kind of look, which is, I'm guessing, a lot of people. and they kept his shirt off so that you could see his new beer belly and his sharp mental decline manifested physically in all of its, I think they were probably going for a disgust factor, and that is a problem.
And I agree with you, but I will say that for their, you know, initial shock, like, they then don't do anything like that again. Like, they give you that one, like, okay, this is what's really going on. He's not just hiding, you know, his physique under a sweatshirt and a bathrobe, you know, like, he really is just this. And but, like, then it almost becomes, in my eyes, I saw it as, then it was okay. Like, nobody else necessarily, besides one other part, made, like, a fat joke. Tony made, like, a lazy comment because he was in a bathrobe and, like, sunglasses. I mean, if you don't make a Lebowski reference in that part, I don't know what you
Yeah, mean. I don't know who you are. You don't make. There are so many pop culture references in this film. It's unreal. But yeah, you're right. To a certain extent, after that, it seems normalized.
Yeah.
This is the Thor we have now. He's broken. We don't really know how to fix him. Therein lies another problem that we can come back to later.
Yes.
And we're just going to move forward with him in his ratty outfits looking for beer over, you know, every shoulder.
Yeah.
But it's still, it's the fact that they reversed the whole situation, and they didn't need to. They focused in on this pot belly and this long stringy hair, and it wasn't necessary. There were other ways to show that he had been just leveled by the choice that he made. Okay, so let's look at the bad choices that were made in Infinity War.
Okay.
Yeah. Quill made the worst choice,
Yes.
but he disintegrated, so nobody gets to yell at him about it. Thor made the other bad choice, but it wasn't at the time. He didn't Quill lost his head and the whole thing went to hell. But like Thor really thought that he was doing the right thing. He swooped in at just the perfect moment. And if he'd gone for the head instead, everything would have turned out really differently, but he didn't. And this is something that he has to live with. He didn't disintegrate. He has to live with it.
Yeah.
When that sweet little scene with the nice music where they got in the back of the truck and they drove all the way up to the village. And that was so cute, that was so cute. And I guess maybe they did that to throw you off because you didn't really know what you were getting into until they opened the cottage door and there he was, beer gut in all its glory, made to look and be interpreted as disgusting. And it wasn't necessary. There are lots of attractive men out there who have beer guts. And they did. I really think that they focused in and they wanted that to be your first reaction. I think they want disgust. And that's not okay.
No, I agree with you 100%. My only argument, and it's not even really, I don't even want that word in there, but like, how do you think would have been a better way to show his true broken state?
They did it with Loki easily in Thor 2. When he had that mirage up, making it look like everything was perfectly perfect, and then when Thor told him to stop faking, and he let it come down, and he had trashed his cell, and his hair was greasy, and he had bare feet, and there was blood all over the walls. I mean, you saw how unhinged the man looked, but he
Yeah.
was still hot as ever Hiddleston. So
Yeah.
what was the difference? Why did Loki get to grieve that way, and why did Thor get to completely fall apart? Is it because Loki didn't have the same drinking problem as Thor? Like, I'm sorry, not drinking problem, drinking habit.
I mean, I would call it a problem because at that point,
Okay. All
like,
right. Okay. Yeah.
because at that point
It was a problem.
it was the
Yeah.
forefront of his mind, and it wasn't just like I'm going to drink a lot and still be responsible and have fun. Like, it's, I'm
It
just going
was
to
I'm
drink to
drinking to dull
escape.
the pain.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it was a problem at that point for sure.
Okay. Fair.
I mean, and it's so hard because people get depressed in different ways. So like for some
Absolutely.
people, depression goes into I'm going to eat everything under the sun and gain weight. Other people is I'm going to lie in bed and not eat because I just don't want to do anything. So it's like you could argue that, Hiddleston and Hemsworth, like their characters, sorry, Loki and Thor, like they had their two ways. Also, you could even argue that maybe Thor did go through that point, but it's been 5 years, whereas Loki, it wasn't necessarily 5 years.
Okay.
I do think the time is the most important part because if it wasn't for that, I would definitely be more like on the what did they do, kind of thing. But I think,
Okay, so because there were 5 years that had elapsed,
and
the
he's had
time
to live
for
with it
him.
for that long.
Yeah, okay. I see where you're coming from.
And because also,
Yeah.
like, I want to look at this because I do feel like a lot of people, not you, but like a lot of people are looking at just this movie, and we have to look at Thor's overall. Like, he's gone from losing his mother, losing his father,
Yes.
losing his brother, losing his home world, losing half of the people that he was now put in charge of. Like, and then losing his identity as the strongest, mightiest, whatever Avenger, and not being able to defeat Thanos. So, like, all the stuff that he knew about himself was gone. And all the people that he had to support him
Yeah.
was gone. And I think the big thing also, because again, like you say, experiences, I see myself a lot in Thor, in that Thor takes a lot of his self-worth from what other people think of him. And
Okay.
like, he's the strongest Avenger, but only if everybody agrees with him, but when Hulk is now stronger, oh, like there's a threat. Like, he was threatened because Captain America almost was able to lift up the hammer in that one part, but you know, he didn't fully go through with it, so it was okay. Like, his identity again was safe. You know, he was his father's golden child, and he was going to be the best leader because his father said so. So, like, all of these things, his battle prowess, he was, like, putting all his self-worth in other people's, you know, worth of him. Okay. So, like,
I mean, I don't think, I think if anyone was entitled in that film to a breakdown, Thor was, like, numero uno, okay? Yeah, I don't think anyone's arguing that. I just really think that there were more constructive ways to present it, and that brings me, if you don't mind, to another point that I'd like to pull in.
Of course.
So I obviously have a lot of friends who are Marvel fans, and again, when I found out that I was doing this, I talked to a couple in particular, and a dear friend of mine, Lyndon, she made the point that there are other ways that his appearance was used to sort of dismiss him and make him less important, or make him more disgusting, really. So when they rescue Tony, and he's malnourished and he's thin, everyone has this huge sympathy towards him because look at what you've endured and look at how frail you are. And here you are collapsing after having this huge tirade at Cap, which I don't necessarily think that Cap deserved, but that's another conversation. But mostly because I love Cap. But like, when you look at his frail physique and his thinness, he is played off as a very sympathetic character. But when you look at the way that Thor's trauma has manifested in him, he becomes significantly less sympathetic, and that was done deliberately.
You're
and
right.
I don't get it. I just don't. It's just playing into these tired old tools that the entertainment industry uses to sort of reinforce the skinny is beautiful, skinny is strong, skinny is sympathetic, and fat's not. And I don't think that that's my experience speaking to this anymore. I think that that's, you know, there are probably entire classes on this at universities. Yeah. And the way that fat people are represented in the media and in film and in television. And yes, okay, Tony went through a bad time. And yeah, he should be applauded for persevering through it. But Thor's going through a bad time too, and he's not dead. So let's applaud him for surviving.
Yeah.
No matter, you know, in whichever way he can.
Do you think...
Which is playing video games and drinking a lot of beer.
Do you think that that's also how society in general has this stigma with not just mental illness, but any, you know, I don't remember, like, quote unquote, invisible illness, you know, like it manifests in other ways, but inside this is your illness, and like people don't know what to do with it. So they're just kind of like, you know, and it's like,
yeah. I don't think it's me thinking. I think that's just sort of the reality of it.
Yeah.
When people don't understand something, when they are ignorant to the way something works, they judge. And instead of trying to show sympathy or empathy, they write people off instead, which is, that's a bigger problem we can tackle on this podcast.
That's very true. Yeah. I don't have the credentials to handle that.
No, neither do I, for that matter. I just the way that they handled Stark's issues and how sympathetic they were to his issues, and the way that he looked while they were sympathetic versus how much less sympathetic they were to Thor and how he looked. I think that there's something to see there. I think that there's a connection.
There definitely is. And again, like, it's that whole, you know, like, oh, if you're, you know, going through chemo and there's a physical, you know, representation of your struggle, like,
you have cancer. Yeah. We understand cancer. Let's feel sorry for you. Let's celebrate how strong you are because you're battling this illness. And the cure that you're taking is almost worse than the disease.
Yeah.
We can see this. We have a name for it. We understand it. However, when you are battling, even the fact that they call them demons, you know, when you are struggling with mental health issues and it is in many ways an invisible illness, people say, oh, you're lazy. Oh, what are you doing? Oh, you know, things could be a lot worse, you know. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
That one's my favorite. It's like, please don't do that. They're bad for me.
Yeah.
Just accept that they're bad for me. Just accept that they're bad for Thor.
Exactly. And like, you don't know what worse is. Like, for some people, worse is like a certain level, and some people, worse is another level. So like, you know, at my worst, like, it might be your best, but it's still my worst. So, you know, whether it's mental illness, fibromyalgia, even arthritis, like, you don't necessarily always see those things, but they can be debilitating. And like,
absolutely.
But the thing, I do like think that they did well in this movie with Thor was they didn't ostracize him. You know, like, the team didn't say, oh, well, you can't handle this now. Like, they were like, nope, you're here. You're going to do this. Like,
but okay. And you're right. They did. That's exactly right. They said, no, you're here. You're going to do this. And they didn't check in with him.
I mean,
and then when they got to Asgard, it turned out he couldn't do it.
Yeah. And you definitely didn't put him with the most compassionate character. But then again, like, and I'm glad they didn't do the whole, oh, Rocket slapped him and it cured him, because like, no, like, you don't necessarily need that to be 100% okay. Like, what he needed was his mother to be like, you know, yeah, you're not going to be what everyone thinks of you. You're going to fail. That's what being a person is. Like, whether you're a god or not, like, failure is failure, and that's okay. And like, I thought that messaging was probably the best, you know, delivered. And I do.
Until Melissa, until.
Okay, we're going to argue this point for sure.
Okay.
Because I definitely didn't take it like it can be taken, because again, like, we have to look at the factors. Like, she doesn't necessarily know that he's just been drinking, but anyway, like, she wouldn't tell Thor don't drink, she wouldn't tell Thor cut your hair, because up until like she died, he always had long hair as far as we know. So I guess maybe if you had put in maybe take a shower instead of eat a salad, that might have been a bit better. But I feel like she said it with enough compassion that it really just was a placeholder, and probably not the best placeholder, but a placeholder for take care of yourself, you know?
But why couldn't it have just been take care of yourself?
Yes.
Because eat a salad to, I mean,
I could eat all the salads I want. I'll never be 100 pounds.
Well, like, this is it. There, I to this, to the day I die, I will tell you that I do not believe that the words eat a salad are compassionate at all. They are extremely judgmental, because what they imply is that the person saying them to you does not understand the reasons behind your appearance.
True.
They assume that it's because you're eating unhealthily. Well, sister, I mean, I know lots of ladies over 200 pounds who run marathons.
Yeah.
And they eat lots of salads, but they are never going to be Gigi Hadid, okay? They're never going to be stick rail thin models. So when you say eat a salad, it says a lot more about the person saying it than it does the person that they're saying it to. And it could just as easily have been the words take care of yourself. And it would have been, I personally think, to 100% of the people who were triggered by that line, and Jesus, was I triggered. It would have been a bajillion times better.
Yeah, I think that line could have been the thing that they rewrote, and it would have been fine. Like, Renee Russo, I think, did a good job of delivering it as well as she could have, but I think that they could have rewritten it a lot better, because it seemed like they were more going for a brevity, lighthearted moment, and that is a joke. But like, no, like, that's not a joke. You obviously don't know what that phrase means, because you know, you put it in there. But I don't know. I agree with you 100%. I also can forgive it like 20% just because of how she delivered it. But I do. I think that it could have been written better, because, yeah. And
it probably was, let's be honest. They probably did that take a million times with 65 different lines. And they chose that one. And that just, I don't know, honestly for me, and I know for a lot of other people, it really cheapened the moment. It was a really special scene. I didn't expect to get a scene like that. And then when we did, it was really, really special. I thought, you know, when you deal with time travel, you can pull all sorts of hokey crap.
Mm.
And that was not, that was a really lovely, touching scene. And then she says, eat a salad. And I was like, why did you say that?
But I feel like they do that so often. It's like you have this deep, touching moment, and then it's like instant, like snap, nope, it's laughter now. Like they never let you just enjoy the depth that they are giving you. It's like they immediately got to like upend it and be like, nope, here, have a terrible joke, you know?
But which is awful, because that scene was so, it was so touching.
And it's the thing that finally gets Thor to be like, look, like, you have to, like, recognize that you failed and it's okay. And
yeah.
Move on. And
it did what it was supposed to, but that line just, it's going to stick in my craw forever. I know it.
Yeah.
And I'm owning it. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that it's sticking in my craw, really.
No, and I think it's okay, because like you said, like, there is a history to that line. It's not like they just made up a line and it was poorly written. Like there are certain phrases, there are certain idioms that have been around for a long time that you can be exposed to, and you know that there's more to them than what there is. So like, I don't think that they carelessly, you know,
it was there for a reason. Somebody put it into the script, and I really think that it was them taking another cheap shot at Thor. And I mean, you have to, there's so much happening now that it's out there in the universe with it. The number of memes that I have seen in the last week that are just like, you know, I'm so troubled. I think that we're going in the right direction in many ways in entertainment when it comes to treating people of size. Like, I haven't had a chance to sit down and marathon a Shrill with A.D. Bryant yet, but everything I have read suggests that they do a really amazing job of casting a fat woman in a lead and just letting her live her life like every other fat woman on the planet who isn't an actress, you know? But just this situation is just so... It's so unfortunate, because you have these memes, and I keep seeing them, you know. It's like hot, super fit Thor on one side, and it's like me on keto or paleo or whatever stupid diet is in right now. Okay. And then on the right, you've got the, you know, troubled, clearly mental health issues Thor on the other side. And it's like me on cheat day.
Yeah.
And it's like, come on, people, like, it's 2019.
Yeah, come and on. Unfortunately, that's society, though, pulling things from it. Because what I think, like, once you get past this part, like, this is where I think that they did not cheapen his whole thing. And I think that they embraced it. And once they embraced it, I was like, okay, like, you're not just doing this for whatever. Like, when he finally was like, okay, look, I'm going to do this. I'm going to fight Thanos. And, like, he... you know, put on his armor, like transformed or whatever. Like, he didn't all of a sudden get like muscles and like, you know, was fit again. Like,
no, he still had the beer gut, but he looked like he could kick some butt.
Yeah. And because I think it was, he believed he could, you know, like he got the hammer back. Yeah. He felt he was worthy. You know, he had the axe and he was like, okay, I'm going to do it now. And like, again, they didn't like make him weaker or anything like that. Like, he still was able to do some stuff. Now, people will say...
Some stuff.
But, and here's my argument, because I've seen this a lot. You have to also remember, like, what's going on in the story. Like, you're at the end of Thanos' time, so you have to have all these people try to defeat him until you get to the one who's supposed to defeat him. So, like, yeah, I don't think they gave him enough time defeating Thanos. But you can't have him come as close as Captain America, because Captain America needs to have his, you know, shield and hammer moment too.
Okay, true.
You only got Captain Marvel in there for a hot second, showing.
Don't even get me started about that. Oh, okay.
Showing that she has the power, but
she sure does.
You know, they couldn't let her be the ending because she's the newcomer. Like, they had to wrap up these stories. So, like, taken in that context, I think that they gave Thor what he was, you know, needed to be given in this time. Like, they couldn't have certain people defeat Thanos. It had to be one or two people. So, like, you had to give Cap his moment and you had to give Iron Man his moment. And then beyond that, like, nobody else even really touched him besides Thor and Captain Marvel. Like,
that is true.
So, I mean, like, I get everyone's like, and he didn't even defeat him like he did before. Yeah, but again, that wasn't his place. Like, you do have to consider the story, unfortunately. Like, that's the shortcoming of the story.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying, and I agree to a certain extent. I do think that he probably could have put a couple more bruises on Thanos' face.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he probably... I wish that he had done it with his own hammer, because... It was almost as if he was not actually worthy of it, because the short amount of time that it was actually, and then Cap got it, and Cap seemed more worthy. You know, Cap of America's ass was more worthy. I love that line. I love Scott's crush. Scott's crush was like the highlight of that scene, honestly. But I do wish that he had just had just, I mean, even if it was just 30 seconds more.
Yeah.
Where he actually drew some blood or made some sort of dent, because as it was, he barely slowed Thanos down. And then Cap, you know, slowed him down a little bit more, but wound up being overcome. And then it just looked all hopeless. And then, of course, Tony, oh, the tears.
Yeah.
But oh, so many tears, my God. But I don't know. I mean, they redeemed themselves partially by putting him in the armor and letting him kick some butt,
mm-hmm.
and be a part of the fight and sort of gain that hold on himself back.
Yeah.
But I think the Thor thing is always going to stick with me just because of where I'm coming from. And the thing that I think Marvel needs to recognize is that I'm not the only fat Marvel fan out there.
That's true.
And I'm not going to say that all Marvel fans are fat, because that's horrible and that's stupid. But I mean, lots of people are fat. Lots of people are Marvel fans. Sometimes, in fact, lots of the time, they are the same.
Yeah.
So just like read the room. That's, I think, sort of what I'm going for here, is like read the room, read social media, read the movements.
Mm.
Write, film, learn. And I'm really hoping that this was a learning experience, because Thor's going to be back.
Yes.
And if he still has that gut and they're making fun of him, the people will revolt.
Yeah, I think the time for jokes with that is over. I hope that they learn that lesson. I also hope that they don't just instantly transform him in the next film. Like, I hope there's still a journey to be had.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I think that that's also important. Like, if the writers are going to argue that this was an important thing to show, then you have to make it important for more than one film and for more than cheap laughs. So, mm-hmm. like, you're going to do this? You know, James Gunn is in the next Guardians of the Galaxy again, so if it's the Asgardians of the Galaxy...
You know, he's a pretty, I mean, ancient tweets aside, he's proven to be a pretty decent guy.
Yeah.
So... I mean, hopefully he's going to be, especially since this is sort of his redemption film.
Yeah.
Hopefully he'll be reading the room, like, and carefully.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully he's been on Twitter, not tweeting, but reading and getting people's reaction and learning, you know, how to better treat a character who deserves, you know, a proper treatment. Because I think that, you know, like I said, Thor is my favorite. He's gone through the most.
Yeah, definitely has.
He's like the least static comic character. You know, everybody else is pretty much, you know, like Captain America is always going to be Captain America. Like, he's always a steadfast, you know, thing. And Tony's always going to be the argumentative one. That's how he is. But I think Thor is the one where you can do so much with him. And I want them to keep doing better, because, and that's really why I wanted to have a conversation, because hot takes aside, I want mm-hmm. people to do better. You know, if you want to read something and read it, great, but then learn from it. You want to write something, mm-hmm. write better. You know, if you're just viewing a movie idly, then I don't know if you're getting as much out of it as, like, and I'm not saying you have to analyze everything. It's still a comic book movie, like, whatever. You can do stuff. But again, you can expect people and things to be better. And that, I think, just doing that, expecting it and asking for it is the power that the audience has, and we should use it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and honestly, the backlash over Endgame has been, I don't know, I don't think tame's the right word, but I mean, after Infinity War, everyone was like, WTF Marvel, you know? And after Endgame, I think a lot more people are satisfied, but I think there are a lot of people out there who recognize that there are still improvements to be made. And now we're entering this new era, and the possibilities are limitless.
Yeah, and I think that this new era is where we can find the do better part, because now you can do better with Thor, because for all of Thor's movies, they made Thor 2 the most important, which I thought was hysterical, because that's the weakest one out of all of them in
It is,
terms of
yes,
out of
definitely.
all the MCU probably. But I also think you can now do better with female representation. I think you can now also do better with the LGBTQ community.
Yes,
If
people
you
of color.
People of color, 100%. Like, you have the areas to grow. You've started it. Now embrace it and go. Like, now the generic male white character from the comic books isn't your main front person, you know?
Yeah, it needs to be a tapestry. And I'm really hoping that they embrace it, not for the cash value, which will be exponential. I mean, my God, if they introduced an Indian superhero, there's 1.3 billion people in India. Just think of the implications there for a second.
I mean, just look
But
at the reaction with Black Panther. Like, you
yeah,
finally
well,
had
I mean,
these people.
absolutely. I mean, there's an entire demographic that they were neglecting. And now they've picked up on that demographic, but there are a lot of other demographics that they've been neglecting as well. And I'm really hoping that when they go forward and they start to embrace, they are embracing in a spirit of inclusivity and not a spirit of give me more money.
Yeah, and I think what helps is getting the right people in the writer's room and getting the right people behind the camera. Because if you still have the same point of view, like in your writing and your camera work, your actors in front of the camera, it's not their story. You're still giving
No,
them a certain
no.
person's story to tell, and that's
And
not.
like from a cinema standpoint, I mean there are directors and cinematographers and art directors out there who are doing incredible things with light and color to make people of color look more beautiful. I mean they're beautiful to start with, but like all the lighting is like so I read an interview. Do you know the show Insecure with Issa Rae? Yeah, so they have like revolutionized the light on that set for all of the black actors, and I don't if you've ever watched a couple of episodes, I mean it's outrageous. Everyone's so beautiful, and I don't know if they employed that in Black Panther, where everyone is beautiful anyways. My goodness, but like just getting people like that who have the expertise and have worked in the community and know exactly how to showcase everybody to show them in the most wonderful, most valuable light. That's so important. I don't know that much about film. It's not something that I ever studied at length, but I'm very interested in it. So I do a lot of reading, and that fascinates me. And I mean, I think that they're on that particular, I don't want to say a trend setting because this shouldn't be a trend. This should be the norm. But I'm hoping that they're going down that avenue and understanding that this is the future. It's 2019 and everybody needs to be included. So let's just learn from our mistakes and keep embracing and keep making things more inclusive. But I'm really excited, especially since Pete posted that thing today with all the movies. Oh my gosh, there's so many amazing things happening in the next 4 years. I had no idea. My mind was blown.
I know, so many movies.
So many movies. And also, untitled Marvel project, untitled Pixar project, untitled. I'm like, I don't even care. I'm happy that they're there and that they're happening. And I have so much to look forward to. And now I've learned here in Costa Rica that if the trailer is in English with Spanish subtitles, then the movie will be shown in English with Spanish subtitles. And I was really worried about Lion King, and now I don't have to be.
Oh, that is exciting.
It is very exciting because I had to wait till December to see Wreck-It Ralph. But anyways, sorry. That was a bit of a rant, but like I'm just excited to see what the future holds, and I'm hoping that there will be no repeat of the conversation we've just had, or at least a different iteration over a different issue.
Yeah, because I'm sure there'll always be issues. Like, there's always going to be things, but like, I was watching a fundraiser stream, and they were doing fundraising for Trans Lifeline, and like their whole motto was, you know what, we got to do this one thing for this thing, but let's make this thing, you know, raise the funds for it. So this thing isn't on our plate in a couple of months, years, like, and we're on to the next thing. Like, let's get to the next thing so we can keep making things and people's lives and all these things better and normal. Cause you know, it used to be gay rights and then now it's trans rights. So it's like, we're just keep progressing and keep hopefully making things better so we can get to the next thing and make that one better. And like, that's what I want to see in film. Like, and more importantly, cause I know like Pete would say, like, there are films that tackle some of these issues, but a majority of people aren't going to see those films. You're not going to get billions.
They don't reach the masses. No, they don't. That's the horrible truth.
Yes.
Is that they do not reach normal, everyday theater goers.
Yes.
So we've got to get these people educated. Not to say that everyone's ignorant, okay? Like, to the audience. They're not ignorant. I recognize this. Mm. But there are people out there who don't read on the internet or who read the wrong things.
Yes.
And if we can just get them to listen for 5 minutes or for 90 minutes in a theater, then help is on the way.
Yeah, or 3 hours. Yeah. But yeah, putting this stuff in the mainstream, making these things normal, that's how we change society and that's how we change the dialogue. And having a dialogue is the most important, because if I sat here and just told you, Laura, how your viewpoint was wrong the entire time, like, that wouldn't have been good. But
no, it's not productive at all.
Yeah. But I learned, like, while for me it wasn't as triggering, it was triggering for other people. And you know what? I should now expect these movie writers to do better, because I don't want anybody to be triggered. I don't want to go to the movies and have people react that way, whether it's me, whether it's the person sitting next to me, whether it's the person 3 rows behind me. Like, I want everyone to enjoy on the same level, because we shouldn't be laughing at other people's expenses. We shouldn't be making fun at cheap things like this. So, like, being able to understand everyone's point of view is important. And yeah, you'll probably still trigger some people, because there's always something. But
yeah, yes, there is.
Learning and trying to be as least, you know, offensive as possible is probably a better goal than just, I'm making a comic book movie, whatever. Like, no, like, that's not, no.
No, I mean, when, if you look at, I'm not here to school anybody on comic books, because I am in no way an expert, but like, weren't the comic books of the golden age, weren't they there as parables? They were there with lessons.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's, I'm not expecting the next Marvel movie to jump right in and start challenging everybody's preconceived notions of what is beautiful. Okay. That's not what Marvel films are for, but at the same time, they're a small part of them could.
Mm-hmm.
And if you almost treat it like an accumulation exercise, where this film, okay, so Captain Marvel gets a haircut and
oh, wait, hold on. You're cutting out. Say that again.
She looks hella good. And yes. She looks sad. Oh, sorry. Okay, so I was talking about Carol's haircut.
Yes. Okay, go ahead.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So she has a haircut, Rocket makes a comment, but then nobody says that it's unattractive.
Right.
So here she has a haircut that certain communities will identify strongly with.
Mm.
And no one makes a big deal about it. So then you have that accumulation happening. You do that a little bit in every movie, and by the time you get to the final one, ideals of beauty or what's attractive or what's powerful or what's strong have been turned on their heads to reflect a new truth. And nobody's, you know, I mean, you're still going to have the incels being horrible, but, you know, very few people are going to be scratching their heads going like, how did we get here?
Exactly. Because you knew you've just made it the thing. Like, it's not weird.
You've normalized it. And that's really, I mean, you don't have to do it all in one film. You could do it in the next 20, because you know they're going to be 20.
Exactly.
But Yeah. But it's that concept of accumulation. It will eventually be normalized, because we will have been chipping away at it bit by bit. And I'm really hoping that that's the case in the next decade, in the next 10 years of Marvel greatness.
Yeah. Girl, yeah. At the end, when she was standing on the steps in that pantsuit, like, goals, like you wouldn't believe.
Who are you?
Yes.
Who, like, angel. Why, where have you been my whole life?
Oh, I.
Yeah, no, she's pretty great. She's pretty great. I had some people tell me that they didn't like Captain Marvel, and I was just like, "You're dead to me."
Yeah, I can kind of understand this. And I'm so excited to see what they do with her in the future. I'm excited to see what they do with women in the future. I know there was a lot of backlash against the Widow.
That scene though, not just the way they'd done that dirty, which they did, but that scene where all the ladies come together in the final battle. I've been reading a lot of things where people are like, so forced, so contrived, blah, and I'm just like, where is that? I'm like, I want to dance in the theater aisles because I'm like, look at all these strong, powerful women.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, it was contrived probably from a comic book, just like when you have Captain America say Avengers assemble and everybody flies forward. Like, yeah, it's a
Like,
still from a comic book.
come on now. Like, this is let's just take the win and then keep rolling with it.
Yeah. So like, I don't know. I'm excited to see that whole female crew keep kicking butts and taking names because,
It was
they
great.
were
I loved it.
amazing.
It made my heart, my cold, grinchy heart swell 10 sizes too big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100% with you.
Thanks.
All right. Have we talked? We exhausted this?
I'm good. I don't really have anything else to say about it. I mean, I think we both, I feel also, honestly, like I come down sort of in the middle somewhere in terms of reactions. I've read some reactions from people who were devastated and wrote the entire movie off. That's not me. That's not me. There was a bigger story to tell. I thought that it was unfortunate, but I can move past it. But I mean, and then there are some people who don't understand anything wrong with it at all. But like, I feel like you and I are somewhere on that middle spectrum.
And I think that it's important, and that's why I want to talk to you in particular, because I feel like you're the Marvel fan. Like, you're not going to take this isolated movie and say,
No.
this is the one piece of it that I hated. Like, you understand Thor's journey, you understand the character's journey. So, like, when decisions are made in this movie, unfortunately, it's not standalone. Like, you do kind of have to consider a lot of backstory with certain things.
Yeah, this is not the Thor trauma show, you know.
Yeah.
He was one cog in a big machine.
And unfortunately, with ensemble movies, some cogs do get lost, some cogs do get written off early, some cogs do get underutilized. So, like, I think having that perspective, we can look at certain things like their decisions with Thor, like their decisions with Black Widow, like their decisions with a few other, characters, and say, okay, yes, they did not do X, Y, and Z right, but it was also because they had to consider blah, 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 and maybe whatever.
Well,
And we can
time
kind of.
constraints. How about, geez Louise, it was 3 hours. I mean, everyone's like, oh, Okoye only got a minute and a half. And I'm just like, listen, she'll show up in the deleted scenes and everybody will feel vindicated. But my God, 3 hours, something minutes. Okay. We didn't know what was going on in Wakanda. They didn't focus on it. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Guy
Also,
Gruber still made millions of dollars. She's still Michonne on Walking Dead. Okay. Just like, calm down.
I had someone who tried to argue with me that we should have seen Bruce's like therapy journey in those 5 years of how he like came to terms with being both the Hulk and Bruce Banner. And I'm like, dude, it was almost 3 hours. We can't
No,
do.
we don't have time for that. I
No.
mean, it would be, I'm sure it would make a really funny post-credit scene, like the other therapy one with him.
Yes.
But there was no post-credit scene because we done. So
For now, till July.
for now. Have you watched the new Far From Home trailer?
I have, yes.
Oh,
I'm excited. And I'm
I
excited for the
do.
post-credit scene on that one.
Yes. I'm looking forward to how they treat the aftermath of and Peter's trauma,
Yes.
because there was a lot of treatment of trauma in this movie, and I'm looking forward to seeing how they tackle that particular elephant in the room.
Yeah.
But
And he's going to
July
have a bit of
2nd,
it.
soon.
Cool. All right. Well, until July, until next time, until your next journey to Florida, it was wonderful
September.
talking to you. Yes, we'll
Yes,
see you in
ditto,
September.
for
And
sure.
thank you so much for joining me. Thank you all for joining us. Hope you enjoyed. Hope you have some thoughts and comments. Leave your thoughts and comments here. Leave them in the Facebook group. I definitely want to keep a dialogue open, but if you are just obstinate and rude, I will kick you out because I don't have time for that. But healthy discussion, I'm all for. That's what we're here for. So thank you guys for joining us. Thank you, Laura, once again. Until next time, have a wonderful evening.